But when we live in a home that has LED and ambient lights all over the place, we have TVs on that are emitting tons of blue light. We have our iPhones, or if you're an Android user, if you're one of those, coming at in our face, and we have all of this artificial light everywhere. We actually know that all of this artificial light and blue light inhibits melatonin production. Hey there, my name is Wendy, and I'm an environmental toxins lawyer who is obsessed with showing women how to toss the toxins out of their life and embrace a more holistic lifestyle. I'll be dishing up bite-sized but binge-worthy episodes on all things detox, low toxin, what's that toxin, and what is it really doing to my health? I'm breaking it all down for you, separating the myths from the facts and pulling back the curtain on the products and beauty industry. You'll hear my unfiltered and sometimes unpopular, but honest opinions. No topic is off limits. We'll dive into what's really causing our thyroid issues, hormone imbalances, infertility, and more. Think of it as a crash course for all things holistic living, but for real life. You don't have to do everything. You just have to start somewhere. Let me show you how. This is the Detox Dilemma Podcast. Welcome to episode 18 of the Detox Dilemma Podcast. I am your host, Wendy. I can't believe we're 18 episodes, and I still remember my very first episode. In fact, I think the first five or six episodes, I was so nervous. I scripted them. I wrote every single word. There was no ad-libbing. I just wanted it to be really good, and I wanted it to be informative, and I wanted you guys to get a lot of value out of it. And so I put so much work, and I'm not saying that I don't still put so much work into it, but it is interesting that the more I go on and the more episodes that I do, I get more comfortable showing up, maybe kind of the way I do on social media, which is really raw and really authentic and just kind of saying what I think. And one of the things about that is it makes being here and showing up more fun. So I hope you guys have noticed that I'm getting more comfortable, and I hope that you are enjoying that as much as I am. So today's topic came about because I put a poll up on Instagram, and I do that all the time. I ask you guys what you think, what topics you want to talk about. But this specific poll, I said, you know, what has been the hardest thing about healing or going more holistic, living more of a natural lifestyle? What are kind of the one thing that's a sticking point for you that you struggle with? And I gave my audience four options. I said, is it switching to toxin-free products? Is it changing the way that you eat, being more healthy from a nutrition perspective? Was it getting daily movement in your life? So exercise, lifting weights, whatever your choice of movement is, or getting 8 hours of sleep? And I'm not even kidding. I was so surprised. I don't know why I was so surprised. I guess I shouldn't be, because this was something, a huge struggle for me, and I'll talk about that in a second, was getting 8 hours of sleep. That has been the hardest thing for you guys to adjust to. The nutrition piece was right behind it. I mean, like right behind it. And actually, I think at the time of this recording, they're neck and neck. So we'll see which one falls out to be the hardest. But either way, I found that really interesting. And I thought, well, you know what? This is a really good podcast episode, because I am somebody who also struggled getting 8 hours of sleep. And if I'm being totally honest, the biggest reason was because I didn't value it. I didn't think it was important. I think I kind of prided myself on being able to work and be productive and effective on lower amounts of sleep. And then I think another piece of it too was allowing myself to indulge in the evenings, you know, the doom scroll or watching a show late at night. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I was a single mom and I was so busy and I was up early and my life revolved around schedules and sports and school and homework and my day job and my Young Living business and my business that I'm building. Like, I always had all these things going on. And so at night, I think I always told myself, you deserve this. You deserve this time to yourself. It was the only time I had to myself. And all those years of being a single mom, it was the only time the house was quiet and I could just do what I wanted. And so maybe you feel like me and you're sitting up at night and you're staying up late and you're doom scrolling and watching all the funny reels, or maybe you've got you know, a trashy reality TV show that you enjoy watching. And so I just totally binged the new episode, the new season of Selling Sunset, which my husband finds so obnoxious. And I just, you know, when you do so much in a day, sometimes your brain just wants stupid entertainment. Anyway, so getting sleep for me was a huge struggle because I didn't think I needed it. But turns out when I finally took my healing Hashimoto's seriously, sleep became the most important thing to me. So in this episode, I'm going to quickly go over why sleep is so important. Because if you're still somebody who thinks that that downtime that you're getting, whether you're a mom or not, is more important than the actual time that you should be sleeping, I think you're going to want to hear that. But then I'm also going to tell you 6 things that you can do, that you can start right now to get a better night's sleep. Researchers don't actually know why humans have to sleep or why animals have to sleep, but we do know a lot about what happens while we're sleeping. And if we do not get between 7, these are adults, if adults don't get between the recommended 7 or 9 hours of sleep at night, it affects and raises your risks of memory issues, trouble thinking and concentrating, your mood changes, the amount of accidents you have. I'm not talking about those kinds of accidents, like car accidents. You know what I mean. Those go up. It weakens your immune system. It raises your blood pressure. It raises your risk of diabetes. It actually makes you gain weight. It makes it harder for you to lose weight. It lowers your sex drive. It increases your risk of heart disease. It causes poor balance. And you are overall all-cause mortality. You are at an increase of all-cause mortality if you are not getting between 7 and 9 hours of sleep at night. Everything your body does recharges, rebalances, and rebuilds while you are sleeping. So 8 is my magic number. I absolutely prioritize, with very few exception, 8 hours of sleep at night. Like I said, I wasn't always that way. And one of the reasons was also because my ADHD brain, I had a real hard time turning my brain off. So I've always been a reader. I read at night and, you know, after I was done with my doom scrolling, I would grab my Kindle and then I would read for probably another hour. And I historically would get between 5 and 6 hours of sleep at night. And I did that for, probably my whole life. But about 2 years, year and a half ago, pretty quickly after I moved to Virginia, and I got really committed to healing my Hashimoto's, and I knew that I needed to take sleep seriously if I was going to get my antibodies down and get my body into remission. And here's what I learned. Our ability to fall asleep and stay asleep largely revolves around our circadian rhythm. Let me ask you a question. Would you love to know how to read a label without being super confused about what ingredients you should be avoiding and which ones are clean? If you said yes, listen up. This is for you. I remember being that person standing in aisles at Target trying to read labels. And back then, I had zero idea what I was looking for. I didn't know what a preservative was or an ethoxylated ingredient. It was all like reading a foreign language. But now that I'm a savvy label reader, I wanted to create a simple way to teach you how to read labels without being overwhelmed. That's why I created a resource I know you are going to love. It's a list of my top 25 toxins to avoid and my simple 3-step hack for reading labels. It's not just any hack. It's the exact same method that I use every single day to review products and read labels. And it's the same process I teach all of my students. With these 3 steps and a little bit of practice, you'll be able to tell within 90 seconds if a product is clean or not. I personally believe that everyone should have this skill. You can't be fooled by greenwashing and fancy marketing when you know how to look for ingredients you want to avoid. So whether you're just starting out on this toxin-free journey or you're a seasoned pro, this information is so valuable. And here's the best part. It's completely free. Just head over to www.toxinstoavoid.com. That's www.toxinstoavoid.com. Grab your download and start reading labels like a pro today.
And your circadian rhythm
is what produces melatonin in the evening. I know you guys, melatonin people take melatonin gummies to help them sleep. And so the melatonin is what helps you feel sleepy and fall asleep. But your circadian rhythm looks like this. You wake up in the morning, and when sunlight comes into your eyes in the morning, it's like a remote control turning your body on. And that sunlight coming into your eyes tells your body, okay, produce cortisol and serotonin. So that's your morning hormone. Serotonin and cortisol is what makes you feel awake and energized. And that's what your body starts to do when that sunlight hits your eyes. And then right around 5 p.m., 7 p.m. dusk time, as the sun starts to go down, your body starts the process of converting serotonin to melatonin. And then that is what makes you feel tired. So if you're somebody who is going to bed on time and you are trying to get 8 hours of sleep and you're committed to it and you're not making excuses the way that I did, but you're really committed and you want that amount of sleep, but you're just having a really hard time falling asleep and staying asleep, here are 6 things you can do to help yourself fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up feeling refreshed. You are not going to be surprised that I'm going to tell you to walk outside of your house, your apartment, your condo, wherever you are. I don't care where you live. Wake up in the morning and do not grab your phone. Walk outside. Maybe go use the restroom first. Walk outside and let the sun hit your eyes. If the sun isn't up yet, if you're somebody who gets up when it's still dark, as soon as that sunrise starts to come out, find wherever you can get light on your face and go outside. 5 minutes, even if it's 5, anybody can do 5 minutes. And I hear from my customers and my clients all the time, like, I get up and I have to get my kids ready for school. I get it. I single mommed it for 8 years. And even now that I have an amazing husband and partner, he does not get up with my kids in the morning. I'm the morning parent. He has a lot of other roles in our house, but the morning time is my time. So we are up early and I am getting 2 kids out the door, 1 high school, 1 middle school. I get it. It is not fun. 5 minutes earlier and walk outside and get some sun and change your whole life. And I'm not being dramatic, but getting 8 hours of sleep at night will change your life, your health, your mood, everything. So 5 minutes, ideally 10 minutes, but shoot for 5. That is a good start. That will kickstart that process of your body getting into its natural circadian rhythm. The second one is get daily exercise. And I'm not talking about going to Orange Theory or going into the gym. I mean, this can be as simple as going outside and taking a long walk. It could be as simple as you know, I'm staring at my set of dumbbells. My mom and my aunt are living with us right now in our basement because their house is being built across the lake from us. And so that's my gym. That's typically my gym. And so I brought my dumbbells up here into my office where I do my podcasting and my work. And I use the Peloton app and I can do a 10-minute, 15-minute, 30-minute, whatever exercise. I just need some dumbbells and a little 4x4 square area and I'm good. But working out and exercising is one of the most important things you can do to decrease the physical effects of stress on your body. And when your body is stressed, you're making more cortisol, which, as you already know from the perspective of your circadian rhythm, is a wakeful hormone. And while we have cycles of ups and downs of our cortisol, when we're highly stressed out on a regular basis, like chronic stress, you're going to have higher cortisol levels that are unnaturally high throughout the day. And you don't want to do that. So anything you can do that is a stress relieving activity, and daily exercise is the most important one. Number 3 is create a wind down ritual, routine, whatever you want to call it. But having that transition point where you're telling your brain, okay, my daytime is over and now I'm transitioning into nighttime. And to have things that you do that help your brain understand that that's what you're transitioning to. And I do this actually, I used to be really bad at this, but now when I'm done with work, I typically will either, that's when I will do some weightlifting or I will go for a walk. I'll do something before I lead into the rest of my day, whether it's cooking dinner for the kids or doing homework or whatever it is. I have a transition point so that my brain gets signaled that, okay, we're done working now. Your brain needs to get out of work mode. You need to stop thinking about work, which is a hard thing for me to do. So going to bed at night is the same thing. When you have things that you do every single night, especially when there are things that are de-stressing and relaxing in nature, you're telling your brain, okay, it's time to relax now. Let's like get that melatonin rolling. And so whether de-stressing from your day and having a ritual that includes maybe a meditation, and I love the Insight Timer app for this. It's free, which I love. Everyone love free things. I used to use the Calm app, but you have to pay for that. So now I use the Insight Timer app. I love it. Whether it's sleep music, delta wave music, sometimes people journaling is a really good way to wind down your day. Maybe it's a cup of sleepy time tea. I love Organic Olivia, has some great teas. But whatever it is, whatever routine that you need that fits into your life, that is your transition point to tell your body, okay, it's time to start getting ready for bed. That is really, really important and super effective. Number four, let's talk about the role that what you eat and drink are playing in the amount of sleep that you get. So I don't think that I have to tell people, if you are a caffeine consumer like I am, don't consume caffeine late in the day. I actually have a noon cutoff. If I have any amount of caffeine, coffee, whatever, past noon, I notice I have a hard time falling asleep. So I think that goes without saying. I don't think you need me to tell you that. But something you probably don't know is that, remember when I said that your body takes serotonin and it turns it into melatonin? Well, there are foods that you can consume that will actually help your body make serotonin. So it turns out that our bodies actually make serotonin by metabolizing tryptophan. And there are foods full of it, like broccoli, bananas, Brussels sprouts. And because serotonin is made mostly in the gut, in the brain, right? It's a gut-brain thing. And this is why the whole anxiety and depression and the whole gut-brain axis is something that researchers are so focused on right now, is because so much of our activity in our brain comes from our gut. It's like 90% of the nerves go through your gut or coming from your gut. So if we know that foods like broccoli and bananas and Brussels sprouts that are high in this tryptophan help the body then create serotonin, and then more serotonin we have in our body, the more it can convert it to melatonin, those foods can actually help your body get a better night's sleep. Okay, number five, take a bath. I know not all of you are bath takers, and I know I already hear it. I don't have time to take a bath. It doesn't have to be a long bath. And you might think that I'm telling you to take a bath because it's all about relaxation, but stick with me here. It's actually more than that. So scientists have figured out that as part of the circadian rhythm, when melatonin is produced, your core body temperature actually drops 2 to 3 degrees. So if you mimic that drop in core temperature, it actually makes your body sleepy. Let me put this into some perspective for you. In a scientific review, multiple studies took a look at the impact of Ambien, which I am not a proponent of, highly addictive, other issues. Anyway, if you're listening to this podcast episode, you probably are looking for natural ways to get more sleep anyway. But this study showed that when they studied Ambien, people who took Ambien rather than a placebo fell asleep 16 minutes faster than the placebo group. But in another scientific review, multiple studies showed that participants who took a bath or a shower 1 to 2 hours before bedtime fell asleep 9 minutes faster. And they think it's because when you're in a bath, and you're taking a warm bath, your body core temperature mimics the reduction of your core temperature. So something to try. You can also, of course, add some oils to your bath and make sure whatever essential oils that you're putting in your bath, first you put it in some Epsom salt. Oils and water do not mix, so you always want to make sure you put them into your Epsom salts first. If you haven't seen some of the science on essential oils for sleep, I will put some in the show notes so you can take a look at it. But I personally, I have a small diffuser in my bedroom, And not only do I diffuse sleep oils, my oils of choice are Black Spruce, Northern Lights Black Spruce with orange. I mean, it just freaking knocks me out like every time. But I will also put them in my bath. So you get like the 1-2 punch, you get your core temperature and it makes you sleepy. And then you also get the benefit of those essential oils, which are scientifically shown to really help your body sleep as well. Okay, number 6. And this is a big one. And I'm going to take a little bit of time. I know this episode's a little bit longer than most of my episodes, but it's so, so, so important. Addressing blue light exposure. Remember when I said that my relaxation of choice was doom scrolling on Instagram? So here's the problem with our modern life is that our bodies get triggered when the sun goes down, and our typical circadian rhythm tells our bodies, okay, the sun is going down, so it's time to start turning that serotonin into melatonin. But when we live in a home that has LED and ambient lights all over the place, we have TVs on that are emitting tons of blue light. We have our iPhones, or if you're an Android user, if you're one of those, coming at in our face, and we have all of this artificial light everywhere, we actually know that all of this artificial light and blue light inhibits melatonin production. So your body, you know, even though the sun has gone down, you have all of this blue light stimuli around you. And so your body is like, oh, it's still daytime. It's still time to party. We're still getting the serotonin and the cortisol, and your body doesn't trigger that it needs to start the wind down sleep process, because everything that you're doing in your home is mimicking what it would be like if you are outside in the sun, and your body is really confused. I think of all the things I just listed. And by the way, I do all of them. This is what I did. It worked for me. I used to read. I still read every night before bed. I'm an avid reader. I love fantasy novels, all of them. Give them all to me. But it's funny because I used to just destroy books. And I don't mean destroy as in physically destroy, but like I could read 10 books in a month, because at night, I'm a speed reader also. I learned that in law school. So I can read so many books, but it would take me at least an hour to fall asleep reading solidly. And I'm not even kidding. My head hits the pillow. I take my Kindle out. I read. I can't even last 15 minutes. Like, I'm part of a book club. Hi, guys. I love them so much. It's the best. But I told them the last time that we met, I said, I haven't been doing as much reading as I want to do because I fall asleep too fast. I sleep. So now I'm going to have to find time in my daytime schedule to fit some reading in. But that's okay. That is a small price to pay for 8 hours of really good sleep. So here's what I did. I got really serious about blue light. So I owned probably 20 pairs of Amazon peepers. Like, I bought all of them. I had blue light reading glasses all over my house. And I finally got a really good pair, like a no kidding, lab made, scientifically proven reading prescription, like legit blue light glasses. I'm telling you, the things you're buying, the Amazon things you're buying on the internet, that stuff is crap. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they're putting in it, but it is not high quality blue blocking. Like, when I switch to these blue blocking glasses when I'm in front of my computer, that was the thing that I did that took me from being up for an hour at night before I could fall asleep to 15 minutes and I'm out. And I really believe that the way that I have chosen to commit to getting the blue light under control is why now I'm able to fall asleep so quickly. So I have a red light bulb from the same company that I have my blue blocking glasses from. I have a red light bulb on the table on the lamp that's next to my bed. So 2 hours before I want to actually be asleep, I put my phone away. Like, I just put it away. I don't even look at it. If I'm in my bedroom, the red light is on. It's not the artificial light. That doesn't go on at all whatsoever. And I'm wearing blue blocking glasses 100% of the time as soon as the sun starts to go down. And because I sit in front of my computer all day long, and there's other things that blue light can do to your body, I'm wearing blue blocking glasses, my reading glasses, all day, also when I'm in front of my computer. So between having the red light in my bedroom, making sure 2 hours before bedtime, I put my phone away, using my blue blocking glasses, that has been huge. And so I would encourage you to kind of maybe even just putting your phone away 2 hours before bed. I mean, start there. Start small. If you don't think you're going to do that, get some really good, high quality blue blocking glasses. I love the company Boncharge. I've been working with them and partnering with them, and I highly recommend them. Get a red light by your desk. I mean, just take some steps to try to manage the amount of blue light that you are having come onto your body, because it really confuses your circadian rhythm. Okay, friends, that is it. If you are somebody who really wants to get a better night's sleep and commit to 8 hours, get some morning sun, get your daily exercise, get a wind down ritual in place. Try taking a bath with some sleepy time essential oils. Focus on getting some really good food that has tryptophan in it, like that broccoli and bananas. Avoid caffeine in the afternoons, and then work on your blue light exposure. I bet you anything, if you can commit to those things, you are going to see yourself finding such better sleep, and your body will thank you for it. Okay, you finished another episode of the Detox Dilemma podcast. I just wanted to take a second to say thank you. I was thinking about this last night, about how grateful I am that I get to do this for a job. And I mean, I have another job that I love, but I love showing up for you guys. When I get emails and when I get DMs on my Instagram from those of you who are listening that say, oh, I got my sister hooked on your podcast, or my nine-year-old niece was listening to the podcast and they were having conversations about your cycle as a woman, and I just, the impact I feel like I get to have, I feel so blessed and so lucky. And so I just want to say thank you, because if I didn't have any listeners, then I wouldn't be able to be here talking to all of you. So if you're a fan and if you love the show and you feel called, I would appreciate a review so, so much. That is how podcasts get their name out there. It's how it gets showed, and it's how the algorithm puts it in front of new people. So if you could take one moment to go leave a review and a rating, I would so appreciate it. And as always, I hope your life is getting just a little bit less toxic. See you next week.